You're listening to Don's Cast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
And I'm Nick.
And mate, you can probably hear in my voice, I may have been a bit over the top after the win. It was wonderful to be there. And I guess we didn't look like winning that game until, it was 7 seconds ago. We kicked the goal and hang on by a point. But yeah, it was just so great to beat that streak of 13 games and against Richmond and finally have a win on Dreamtime at the G.
Yeah, no, it was awesome, Jane. I don't think there's anything, you can call over the top for a win like that. I know certainly I went mad. I had my son, going, oh, geez, Dad's drunk. And, it wasn't due to the alcohol. It was due to, just excitement and elation that we'd finally beaten this mob, particularly on Dreamtime. It was just an electric kind of feeling, Jamie. And you sort of see the comments from people. They're like, that's a hugging strangers kind of win. Mm. And that's that kind of stuff. It really bonds a club. Mm. Like a big win. And it wasn't from obviously like people had big games, but it wasn't from a few people taking the game away. It was like, let's say, a stringer kicking five or anything like that. It was a team effort. And with a lot of our younger brigade that really helped us get over, with, of course, the experience of, Dyson Heppel, Zach Merritt, and these kind of guys leading the charge. So, it was just an electric win, James. And, certainly, whenever I get a chance, I'll have a look at another replay.
Yeah. Now, one great thing I reckon from this year and in the episode of change, as we call it, is the way that Brad Scott really has embraced the supporters. Mm-hmm. And he made it clear, he got the players into a group after the game, into a huddle, and said, hey, your supporters, they're still in the ground here, and that's because they've had a pretty tough decade. Mm-hmm. You make sure you go out and thank them all. You really encourage them because they're stuck by us. And he made mention, he wanted to thank us all for sticking with the Bombers. And, that's pretty good for a bloke who's just arrived in October last year. Mm-hmm. To have that, alliance with the supporters. And, he's really winning us over. And we've loved his press conferences. But, little things like that really do show that. And it was great to see some emotion out mm-hmm. of the box. I don't know if you've seen the footage, mate, where he's celebrating and he's we didn't see that emotion from Worsfold and Rutten.
No.
And that may have rubbed off onto the players, at that time. But there seems to be a real connection and just the way the players were embracing each other after the game and it just looked like a really aligned club.
Yeah, absolutely, James. And I think, going on from that, because we talk about, process and structure and all the rest of it. And yes, that's much improved. I mean, you think about how we went for a lot of short kicks, James, slowly inch up the ground. It was systematic in a way, which was great. But that wasn't the thing that won us the game. Like, that was the thing that might have kept us in the game, kept our heads and all the rest of it. But the thing that won us the game was heart, James. Guys, beelining the football, going for that mark, where the opposition's coming for you. And Richmond, they're still a very aggressive side, Jake. Like, they're plenty of pushing and shoving out there. Blokes getting, thrown around left, right and centre. I mean, you look at, Nankervis, for example, Jake. Like, he's pretty tough hombre.
McIntosh was another one given clips over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. And to withstand that kind of stuff and, still go for the tackles, take on the game was huge. And that's heart, James. So, I think you hear guys talk, like you hear Ridley talk after the game about how he's just enjoying his footy again. Like he's released the players and said, nope, this is your game. Yep, release you to play your game. Yes, stick to the structures, but you still have to act on a level of intuition to your ability level and all the rest of it. And I think that's really rubbing off. Like, you can see the spirit of the team. really show in big moments like we saw on the weekend. So now I'm massive rep for Brad Scott and what he's been able to do for us so far.
And I was really interested in the presser. Brad made mention Dylan Shield was obviously a late withdrawal. And he made reference that Dylan, by all rights, probably could have played. If Dylan had have bluffed Brad and said, no, I'm right to play this game. But Dylan took the team thing and knew that his calf had a bit of a re-bleed. It wasn't terribly bad, but he was still a bit proppy on it. So Brad asked for honesty and said, will you be able to run as hard as Will Snelling?
Mm-hmm.
If push came to shove late in the game. And Dylan made the great decision of saying, I better sit this one out. And that should be applauded as well. That's selflessness,
Yeah, absolutely, Jame. And we've seen it over the years where coaches have tried to eke out wins by playing our more experienced players, hoping they'll get up. Kind of playing a bloke 70-75% fit, thinking, oh, well, look, his experience will get over in the end. But if you can't run out four quarters, it makes it bloody hard and you run the risk of re-injury. So, I really like this long-term approach that he sees. He's like, well, yeah, look, guys could play right now, but is that what's best for the team necessarily going forward? And obviously that's been driven into the players as well. They go, look, we have to take a team first approach. Yes, it'd be nice for all of us to play each and every single game, but the physical nature of football means that won't be able to, like, it's not realistic to be able to play every single game every year. So for guys to take that brave call to put their hand up and say, I better sit this one out, is huge, and I think it speaks to a much improved culture of the club.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we had a sellout game. I was a little bit surprised by the attendance in the end because generally a sellout at the G, you can kind of bank on at least 85,000 turning up. It was only the 78,000 that was listed on the scoreboard. So considering the night wasn't too bad, haven't been at the game myself, it wasn't like it was torrential rain or anything like that, but it was still a really good environment for footy, and the crowd atmosphere really added to the contest.
It's funny, Jane. Like, you think, there's thousands of tickets. People would love to get their hands on, but just gone to waste. It reminds me of the old sort of MCC members where they'd get, a bit stored aside and, they'd never rock up. Bit of a shame, but, for the 78,000, what a game it was for them to enjoy. And the pre-game where, both teams got together and, celebrated, Indigenous history, the players, and, I guess the, Doug Nicholls round itself, I thought was absolutely fantastic, and applauded the Indigenous talent on the park for each side on the day. I thought that was fantastic, Jane.
Yeah, I did. I liked that too. I remember last year, mate, feeling a little bit embarrassed. Richmond made such a wonderful commitment, and basically the players got involved even in the dancing and so forth for Richmond. And we had to roll out our injured player. I think Tex Wanganeen, or he might have been on the sub or whatever it was. It really was like, it looked like ours was an afterthought, and Richmond were heavily committed into the process of celebrating the Indigenous talent. And just for a few articles this week, it's really great to hear that the club wants to get back to being a leader in Indigenous talent, and that's what we were in the 90s, mate. It started earlier that with Michael Long's arrival, but in the 80s and before that, Norm MacDonald, even back in the early days, mate. But it's really good that the club's finally seen that We can't see drafting players like this as risks. Which you got to, you know, look for gold. And yeah, I'm really glad we're going to go back to that, trying to embrace Indigenous players back into the fold.
Yeah, absolutely, Jay. And you saw, you know, during the week as well, there was an announcement from the club about, yeah, I suppose the panel that we've been involved with Dean Rioli. Heading that up, and one of my favourite, Jane, coming back to Essendon. So this is the First Nations voice to Parliament. Yeah, statement that the Bombers released. So Shea Cockatoo Collins, Jane, is going to come back and yeah, represent for his part. And I think, you know, bringing back these you know, historic players is fantastic, like, to, you know, to rebuild those roots with Essendon and to promote the cause of, yeah, promoting and appreciating you know, Indigenous people and Indigenous talent and the AFL and more broadly in Australia. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, really good. And as the club was came out and said, like, they're supporting the voice, but there's no. Yeah, it's not like even to the players and the staff at the club, it's not like you have to vote that way. It's just a club position. And, yeah, I really think commend that, because I think that's important to your Indigenous players to see your club behind that. And, yeah, it also gives the freedom to non-Indigenous players to still make your own decision. But, you know, it's a club position. And, yeah, I support that. So, yeah, really good. But, mate, the game got underway, and it was the Dylan Shiel, you know, late withdrawal. Will Snelling came into the side. And we saw the sub, obviously, was Massimo D'Ambrosio. So, yeah, I think a lot of us would have thought, oh, we've lost Parrish, we've lost Setterfield, we've lost Shiel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's our three of our main midfielders this year.
Yeah.
You know, it was really going to put the spotlight on players like Caldwell, Hobbs, and Perkins generally. And, you know, those guys really stood up for us.
They did, mate. Yeah, it was a pretty hot contest right from the start. Now, Richmond, you know, almost sort of tried to jump us early, Jane. Yeah, they got a goal early through Ryan Mansell, and yep, that name will come up again. But yeah, like they kicked that goal, had a few other opportunities, but fortunately couldn't kick them through. Before Sam Wiedemann had a bit of a time in the sun, Jane, taking a, you know, couple of good marks. Yeah, what, 30 odd meters in front, not much of an angle on both sides, and made sure of them, put them through.
Yeah, well, they actually weren't marks. If you remember, they were actual too high contacts.
Oh, so, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so the Richmond players were just like, it was almost reckless the way that they were attacking the football. And Paul Weeds got a few head-high contacts, didn't he?
That's right, yeah. Now, yeah, sorry, my bad. Yeah, that first one in particular, like, he literally grabbed his shoulder and dragged him down. It was a... yeah, a bit a bit odd.
Yeah.
And then that second one, who was it?
Was it Gresham? Not Gresham.
What's his name? Number two.
Grimes.
Grimes, that's it. Like, launched straight over the top of him.
it was totally the worst timing. And I guess if Richmond players, I guess for Damien Hardwick, if it was your younger players, you'd say, oh, they're too exuberant. But these are their leaders, like in Grimes' case, he's the captain. And yeah, really, really poor, decisions, but you know, ones that Essendon fans were happy to take.
Absolutely, James. And yeah, that seemed to spur us on a bit. I mean, we saw that, you know, a really exciting run from Mason Redmond, and he came through and he looked to be driving it home, but unfortunately, it just missed. But that would have brought the house down. Before Alwyn Davey Jr. got involved, Jamin popped one through.
Well, that was great to see, because Alwyn hadn't kicked a goal for a few weeks, and you know, obviously being dream time at the G, his first game in this environment, it was really good, and he kicked it under pressure, and it was a lovely goal.
Certainly was, James. Now Richmond came back at us at a missed shot to Dan Rioli before Samson Ryan got a dubious mark, James. And like I'm using dubious in the most generous term. It was well, you know what I'm about to say, but it wasn't right.
Yes, no, that was a terrible decision. And I've heard people say, "Oh, the umpire was in the wrong position." There's four of them out there, mate. How that was allowed to stand, and like some of these ones, they're just so costly because there was no right for that to be paid a mark, and it's costly. They go back and kick a goal.
Yeah, that's it. Big moment. So, then they seem to get a bit ahead of steam up. We saw Dion Prestia have a ping but miss before Ryan Mansell kick his second. But fortunately, we're able to steady the ledger a bit when Will Snelling came through and kicked a goal.
Yeah, well, as we said earlier, Will Snelling was a late entry into the game. And it was quite a good snap, mate. He didn't have much time to put the ball, and it was really good that he got that goal.
It certainly was. And I'll tell you what, Jam, for all his sort of limitations, I thought he was going really hard at the contest, Jam, throwing himself at everything. And it was just like those one percenters that you just love. He was there, all game, as we'll probably talk about later. But at the end of that quarter, we were up by the 2 points, having kicked straight, which was fortunate because we had us leading 4-1, 25 to their 3-5, 23.
Yeah, obviously Richmond had a lot more opportunity. As you said, lucky for us, they were inaccurate. But it was a fairly good start, I thought, just to hold a lead at any stage. And, because Richmond in the past have been very difficult for us to beat. But after quarter time, I started to get a little bit nervous after Tim Taranto's goal.
Yeah, that's it, mate. That got me, a bit nervous. But fortunately, we're able to go up our end and threaten. So we saw, unfortunately, a miss to Langford, rush behind, a couple of misses to Wiedemann. Now they were fairly tough chances, those ones, Jane. Rewalt and Draper had a couple of shots, unable to make it. And then that shot from Draper, Jane, like that was just so exciting. Like that one would have really lifted the roof. If you kicked that one through, but unfortunately wasn't able to go through. But then we saw Dustin Martin kick one, and it really hurts you. Like after you've threatened for a while, and then the other side hit the scoreboard, it can put a bit of a dent in your sails.
It does, and it was an exciting goal for Martin, and that seemed to spur on the Tigers. We did have the next opportunity, and that was the one that Sam Wiedemann's got to kick.
Yeah,
that one where he's about 35 out, straight in front. As you said, the previous two kicks, were on angles at least, and from about 40, 45 out. But this one, he's got to take them.
Yeah,
and wherever he got the yips, because he'd missed a couple previously. It was a really bad miss, and when you only win by a point, these are the ones that can make a difference.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, well, he might claim that point as that's what. But fortunately, not long after that, Jane, we saw Jai Menzies get involved and kick a nice goal.
Yeah, that was great to see. And there's off a link of really good play, and it's great to see Menzies kick that goal because we'd had a few chances and let him go, and I think we kicked 1-6 in that quarter. So. It was good to see finalists kick a goal.
That's it, Jane. Unfortunately, though, we let I'll call it a bit of an easy one to Jack Graham, Jane. I think that one might have been off turnover as well. And leading into half time, like that's the one that gave him the lead, and you sort of really lament those ones. We go into the half, only the 5 points down. 5-7, 37 to there, 6-6, 42. So obviously still well within the hunt. It's just one of those things, Jane, where we're still in the fight, but geez, we need to clean our boy use up.
Yeah, we do. There's a lot of clangers. We're playing high possession football, short kicks, and for a majority of that was pretty good. Yeah, I feel the skills look quite good. It was that kick that when we tried to switch, and generally when we're going backwards, we just let it hang there, and Richmond weren't going to let us just take easy marks. They were coming hard and forced a number of turnovers and a lot of blind kicks, as we'll talk about with one of the next goals.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so that was the end of the half. And then going into that third quarter, we saw another opportunity to Menzies, but unfortunately wasn't able to put it through before, the Tigers started really threatening. And I felt, and obviously I'm biased, Jane, but, the Tigers, they were getting away with a fair bit. I very rarely saw any holding the ball free kicks. We were tackling well, but unfortunately just weren't getting the reward for some of those. But like, credit to the boys, they stuck at it, which was great. And finally, we saw Kyle Langford, who'd been fairly quiet, James, bob up and kick one.
Yeah, he had been, and Cole had seemed a bit slow in his decision making. Been caught a couple of times, and it was good to see him get on the scoreboard, because that was a badly needed goal at that stage, because Richmond had the previous couple of opportunities.
Yeah, certainly had, mate. And then unfortunately we saw Shai Bolton kick one. He's a classy player, James. He was battling really well, and you just have to hats off to him. But his second goal, James, that one he sort of dribbled from the pocket. Like, that was class. You've got to, hats off to that.
Yep. Yeah, it was a great kick. And the crowd for Richmond were really starting to pick up voice. And I think it was Dusty that nearly kicked one of his trademark goals, and thankfully, we got back there and stopped it. But, that was a really important one too, because, Richmond were on the build.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, James. Like, we didn't just let it float, or we made sure it went across the line, which is really good to see. Like, we weren't just giving up, which is excellent. And
look, I think that was Nick Hind, wasn't it, who got back
there?
Yeah,
it was, mate. He really had to put on the jets to get to that contest. He done really well to get there and impact there. So at the end of that third quarter, we were down by the two goals. So 8-10, 58 to our 6-10, 46. And unfortunately, Dustin Martin bobbed up and kicked one. And I tell you what, it had me pretty nervous, mate.
Oh, for sure. We'd only kicked the 6 goals and we were 3 goals down after this. And, when you got six goals out of 3 quarters, if you're doing it for a maths assignment, mate, it's a, so you're averaging 2 goals a quarter. now I've got to kick 3 just to get, scores level. And we've got to stop the other team from scoring as well. So, there's a lot of pressure, and it was easy for our players to say, oh, we've got injuries, we're running out of legs. But we saw some real fight start to come now.
We certainly did, mate. We worked it up the ground, and we saw Sam Durham take a really nice mark. What do you reckon, about 35, 40 out, James, on a fair angle, you have to say.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, he's not a known goal kicker, James. And when he went back, I was thinking, turn around, you bugger, like look for someone. But it looked like he really wanted to take that moment on, and he kicked beautifully, like went straight through the middle, mate.
Yeah, well, that's it. I thought Sam's kind of sprayed a few shots of goal, in previous games.
Mm-hmm.
But that, he just kicked it so well, V-lined right to the goal, and a really great kick. And then straight after that, mate, we had a centre bounce. Drapes gives a handball backwards to Zach Merritt, who does a one-step kick to the stringer. And Stringer just burst through, as he does, And from, you know, just outside 50, he dubbed a beautiful goal, and that got the Bomber crowd cheering.
Yeah, like I thought, you know, Jake Stringer, he'd been working hard all game, I thought, Jane, but just wasn't, like, the ball just wasn't coming to him. But I thought he was doing a lot of bullocking work in that midfield area, which we needed because, you know, without Shield, without Setterfield, you know, without Parrish, obviously, you know, we needed a big body in there. So I thought he was playing really well. For him to get on the end of that one and you know, dob it through was absolutely huge for us. And as you say, like, we got up and about. Yeah, unfortunately, though, you know, we just weren't able to arrest that momentum and keep going with it. You know, Richmond were obviously, you know, pushing from their end as well. And, yeah, they got one back through Judson Clark. You know, before, again, we saw Jai Menti bob up and kick a nice goal.
Yeah, and just I want to quickly go back before that Judson Clark goal. We saw Mason Redmond lead, running back towards the goal line, and unfortunately for him, it's like he tried to push it through, didn't he? And yeah, it kind of stayed in and surprised him a bit. And Judson Clark kicked the goal, and after a score review, it was seen that it was a goal. And yeah, I wish, I think if Redmond had his time over, he would have really forced that behind. But yeah, in a close game, those ones can make the difference. So hopefully our players learn from that, you know, because sometimes you need experiences to correct stuff like that. I'm pretty sure next time Mason's in that kind of position, he'll really force the ball over.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those ones. It's just the nature of AFL footy. Like 99 times out of 100, James, that ball would roll through. But, you know, it just stayed put inside, and Judson Clark was quick enough to get in there, unfortunately, and dob it. But as I say, a learning experience. Yeah, and as I said, so Jai Menti kicked one, which was great to see. For Anthony McDonald, Tim Woody had a ping at goal. Unfortunately, didn't go through. Yeah, before we saw, you know, one of the most exciting plays yeah, you ever did see. I mean, that point, like, you talk about important points, James. That point from McDonald, Tip and Woody, like, yeah, had us within a kick. And I remember saying to my son, oh, we just have to kick a goal here. And that was all that was running through my head. And yeah, then we saw some great play, some desperate defending. Like that tackle from Zach Merritt on Dustin Martin was huge to, like, because he was running in, you know, whether to have a ping or at least pump it right inside their forward line. But it affected his kick. Yeah, fortunately, that, you know, sort of bobbled along the ground. Yeah, saw Riewoldt almost get on the end of it. And him trying to kick it forward. And I thought we really stuck to our structures, Jane. Like, so many times we've all got sucked into the footy. And, you know, when they kick one out the back, they're able to take an easy goal. But because we stuck to our structures, you know, Ridley was able to be goalkeeper. He just lapped that ball up. Yeah, you know, kicked it long to Redmond, who went on a really exciting run. You know, it pumped it into our forward line. Now, yes, like, Richmond were able to, you know, get the footy back, but they had to pump kick it out because we were pressuring him. And we saw Dyson Heppel stand under one, James. And that was a huge mark. Like, at that stage of the game, like, you drop that, we're staffed. And then we worked it up forward. We saw Jakey Stringer, you know, get involved with the footy. And yeah, instead of having the, you know, the all or nothing glory shot, which, you know, he'd be well within his rights to do, really, Jane. You know, he centered the footy, you know, on the left, and Sam Durham came through and marked it right in the goal square. And yeah, that's where I went nuts. And as did the Bomber crowd when Sammy Durham went back and kicked it through.
Used up his 30 seconds too. Yeah. And you know, just left the 7 seconds on the clock. And we should mention, mate, prior to, you know, the I think it was the Sam Durham goal, which put us in front. Menzel, was his Menzi? What's his name?
Menzel?
Yeah. Menzel? No, Menzel. Mansell, sorry.
Oh, Mansell, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Had the shot at goal and,
that's right,
and missed a whole lot. And, you know, when you win a game by a point, you always look back at, you know, the last seconds. And after the game, mate, you could see he was feeling pretty low about himself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
Paul
kicked a
Arson.
couple of goals in the first quarter. So his night started well, and he's an Indigenous player as well, mate. But unfortunately, yeah, he's kicked, well, fortunately for us, he missed everything, and you know, we're the beneficiaries of that. And yeah. Sam Durham became a match winner. And as you said, mate, the old Jake Stringer, I reckon, would have had a ping at that.
Yeah.
But yeah. We've heard Brad say many times, we don't need Jake Stringer to be above or beyond. He just needs to play team footy and use his strengths to his benefit. And that's what he did. And wonderful kick.
Mm.
I've heard some people say, oh, he's having a shot. He wasn't having a shot. Like, no. Jake's a big, powerful player. If he wanted to throw his boot at that, he could have done that better. But yeah. No, he certainly was squaring that up. And yeah, great mark from Durham. Yeah, I think that's a real clutch moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all or nothing at that stage. And wonderful mark. And I was just so happy for Sam Durham because, you know, he worked really hard in the night and, you know, he deserved the reward of being the match winner.
He certainly did, mate. Like, I remember us talking about, like, about halftime, saying, look, you know, Durham, like, he's – like, he's there at about, but we just need more from him. But that second half, he went to another level, Jane. Like, he was an animal. Yeah, to be frank, and he was in everything, and we saw that, you know, play out in those dying 7 seconds. Like, the ball went up, and yeah, they punched it out, and it was Sam Durham who beelined the footy, and just made sure it wasn't going anywhere. Yeah, made sure of our win. I thought that was like, that was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he had a massive last quarter, Durham. He kicked the two goals, I think it was. And also he set up the one to Menzies where he V-lined the footy forward 50. The ball kind of bounced awkwardly.
Yeah.
It was Durham who got the ball out to Langford, who then handballed to Menzies. And, really pivotal moments. Sam Durham was really important to us. And, yeah, well done to him, and well done to the team, because after four straight losses, I don't think any of us wanted to get to five, and it was great to break the streak and the hoodoo over the, you know, the Tigers had over us.
Certainly is, mate. And for Sam Durham, as a Richmond VFL player previously, it seemed like it was all the sweeter for him.
Yeah, for sure. No, really great night. Loved it. Loved the celebrations, as I said. Yeah, you know, from the team, and you know, the rewards, and also the obviously Zach Merritt winning the what do they call that, mate? The best on ground.
Yeah, it escapes me, but I can see the big boomerang there.
he's deserved it anyway. Zach,
yeah.
He was brilliant on the night. Really kept us in it, and just. You know, with us, as I said, with all those mainstays out of the team, we really needed our leader to stand up, and that he did. So, well done to Zach Merritt. Mate, why don't we have a quick break? We'll come back and we'll just do some quick news and then go by the numbers. And you're listening to Don's Cast. Well, mate, before we go by the numbers, let's go to some club news. And we have some exciting news before the Dreamtime game, with Ben Hobbs committing for another 2 years to the Bombers. And, mate, I think he must have been pretty happy with that, because he had a great game on Saturday.
He certainly did, mate. And, yeah, that's a massive boon for us, Dave. I mean, obviously, like, high-touted draft pick. You'd imagine there'd be other rival suitors, you know, searching for his services. But for him to sign on, I think is a massive, show of faith in the, you know, the program we're building at Essendon. It was great to see him sign on for another couple of years. And as you say, played a fantastic game. So well done to Ben Hobbs.
And more exciting news, mate, is the. updates on the injury front. You know, they're saying this week there's a good chance Jaden Laverty will come back into the side from injury, which seems quicker than ahead of schedule. I remember when he did his shoulder against Geelong, you know. Yeah, it looked like he was going to be out for 7 or 8 weeks, but they are saying that he's a chance to play against West Coast on Saturday. And also Dylan Shill should be available, as to Jake Kelly. And, you know, the other exciting prospect, you know, that we have is Mac Welfi, played in the VFL, kicked a couple of goals, looked, you know, ready to go. So he might be considered as well. And, yeah, Nick Cox, from all reports, will play VFL footy this week, which would be his first game of any level. So for the year, and, you know, he's an exciting talent.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And we've also heard that Peter Wright might be even available before the bye for the Bombers. So, you know, when he went down prior to round one, mate, I don't think any of us would have thought we'd be in a position where we're at, you know, 5-5, and you know, with games against West Coast and North. So you think if you get 7-5 and you've got Peter Wright coming back into your side, that's a really good launching pad. And yeah, some exciting times, you know. And the main thing is about getting our players back and keeping them out in the park.
Yep.
But yeah, no, really exciting news on the injury front.
Certainly is, mate. And yeah, you add to that, Zach Reed, you know, potentially coming back after the bye. So, you know, a little while to go yet, but we do need to get games into these blokes. And, yeah, whether it's AFL, VFL level footy to start with, you know, whichever level, like, they need to be playing footy and, you know, get their bodies right. Because, yeah, they are, you know, the long-term, you know, future of the club. So seeing them come back, you know, fit and firing will be, yeah, but absolute boon for us. So yeah, really looking forward to getting those blows back. And as you say, with Peter Wright in particular, you know, giving us that focal point up forward will be huge, not only for I suppose Peter Wright himself to be able to get back, but, you know, think of how that enables Wiedemann to play that sort of second forward as opposed to being the key forward all the time, to be unleashed a little bit potentially. I think it's fantastic. So it's good to get some good news on the injury front. Obviously, you know, touch wood, you never count your chickens before they hatch, but it's good signs anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And Darcy Parrish, yeah, should be pushing either just before the bye or just after the bye as well. So, you know, we did hear some negative news. Will Setterfield has injured his foot. Looks like it's a small stress fracture, I think it was, or, you know, little chip in the bone there. He had his foot stood on against Brisbane. So with foot injuries like that, you just never know how long that's going to be. The club said it's either a short to medium term injury, but it can be pretty vast, between like 2 weeks and 8 weeks. So let's hope for Will's sake it's on the minor end. But certainly a lot to be positive about. So really good news. And, you know, I just think that, you know, it gives me great confidence the way that the club is tracking, regardless with these injuries. And, you know, sometimes these challenges, as Brad Scott says, it gives opportunity to us, and most of them have been taken. We've really well received and made the most of their opportunities.
Certainly is. I will say another story we saw during the week was, with the advent of, you know, particularly our younger tall players going down with, you know, back stress issues. The club have been proactive, I think, in reaching out to Cricket Australia to go, how can we actually manage this, more effectively? On one side, if you look at it from a negative perspective, you think, oh, geez, these injuries keep happening again and again. But, you know, we're actually going out to, you know, greater industry and saying, okay, how do we help manage these players, particularly younger, taller players, and, you know, the back issues that they have. And, that gives me much greater confidence to hear that they are, looking outside of the box, Jane, not just internally at their in their footy lenses to go, oh, we'll just get them to do more weights or something like that. Like they're looking at smarter ways to do business, which I think is really good. I will say though that the amount of injuries we've had over the course of the year, particularly to key players, I mean, obviously disheartening because you sort of think, oh, geez, what kind of Indian burial ground did we build Tullamarine on? I mean, a lot of these, some of them can't be helped, like Setterfield's injury, for instance, like his foot got stepped on, not much he can do. But when you hear like, Parrish going down with a calf, Shield going down with a calf, whether or not that was related to the sort of ankle injury, who knows? But when you consistently keep getting all these injuries, you think, what's happening at the club? But to hear a bit of good news, helps. helps make the mood a bit more positive, and I suppose a win does that as well, James. If we'd have lost, then I'm sure we'd be lamenting all the injuries.
Yeah, well, I believe they're going to be doing, I think it's called penetrometer testing of Tullamarine to see how hard the ground is, if there's any issues there. So like it shows that they're really looking at it. I had a funny little text from a bloke who knows pretty much about happenings at the club, and he said, the problem is we've got these bouncy floors inside the hangar, and then they go outside onto hard surface, probably their bodies aren't moving the same way, so if they're inside, they're probably heavier on their feet, and then they're coming inside outside and using the same, gait and so forth. And that was his theory that, actually having different surfaces, so close connected to the club, that could be throwing their bodies out. Interesting theory, but
it kind of makes sense when you think about it, because I mean we have, the club's lauded its spongy floors. Like that's kind of the selling point to a few players. To say, oh, look how good our facilities are. But, if you think of it realistically, it can make a bit of sense. But, that's for greater minds than mine.
So, that was interesting. Now, our VFL teams, unfortunately, they both went down. But the VFL women's team, who'd been on a bit of a run, had won 5 games in a row. They came up against the league-leading Cats. And actually performed pretty well in that game. I think they led at stages of that game, but the Cats got up by 2 points, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did, mate. It was a real tight one, 28-26. A real nail biter. The girls battled impressively, over the game, which is great to see. And I think, if you take it right up to the top team of the competition, it still speaks well. I mean, I don't think they lost any fans over the weekend.
And our VFL team, mate, they played at the MCG, and I know a lot of the players were really excited about that because many of them don't get that opportunity. And unfortunately, we led for most of the game. Richmond came home very strong and went on to win. So, but we did see some impressive performances in the VFL. I believe Patrick Voss was in much better form than he had been the last previous week. And Matt Guelphy kicked a number of goals. And Anthony Mancara, mate, he really got amongst it. He kicked another couple of goals and showed his class. So there's a couple of really exciting moments out of the VFL team this week. Unfortunately, they couldn't hold on for a win.
Which is it is unfortunate. But I mean, you look at it and you think of the injuries that we just talked about with the AFL list. Obviously, as a VFL, side of it, that means that blokes get sucked up into that higher level, which means they're pretty short man. They're pretty young as a list, Jane, and developing. They. Unfortunately, ran out of petrol tickets by the looks of it. I mean, to concede 5 goals in that last quarter, yeah, would have stung. Yeah, I mean, that's footy, James. Unfortunately, like you crack in as hard as possible, and it is great to see that. See Voss get back on the scoring board. Makara and Guelphy, particularly Makara, get involved in the goals, James. I mean, he's been pretty quiet. Since coming in, and the club are backing him in, giving him more experience. They threw him back last week to get more involved in the play, and now he's kicked a couple of goals, which I'm sure will be great for his confidence. So it's all these little things that still show, yeah, look, lost the game, but like there's still a lot of good to come out from it.
That's right. And yeah, from your VFL team, as we all want to win, but yeah, the development's just so important because really we're just conditioning them ready for senior footy. And we have got some exciting talent down there. And we just have to wait for them to mature and wait for their opportunity. But yeah, it's good to hear that Matt Guelphy got through the game, and hopefully it won't be long before we see him in the seniors.
Absolutely, James.
All right, well, let's go by the numbers, mate. And
Well, just quickly, James,
oh
just
yeah, sorry.
another last bit of news. So you
Yeah.
saw the AFLW side have picked up Matilda Dyke to the club. Now she's actually come in, James, because Kat Phillips, performed quite well over the course of last season, James.
Yeah.
She's actually been moved to the inactive list, James.
Ah.
She's expecting her first child, which is fantastic for her. Yeah, I guess this is the really interesting side of supporting the AFLW side of things. It's like, yeah, well, I mean, obviously, it's not something that we see any of our players, miss a season due to having a child or whatever. So it's fantastic to see that there is that ability for us to move it to the active list and bring in another player to give them the opportunity. So well done to Kat Phillips and congratulations there. And yeah, welcome Matilda Dyke to the club. Now she's a younger player, James, 21 years old, but 180 centimetres, James. So she's got a fair bit of versatility, so can help out Steph in the ruck there, and potentially help out with the back line as well, because we know they were pretty short last year. So that sounds like a pretty good signing.
Yeah, well, that's news to me, mate. So thank you for that. I was listening to that very well. So yeah, thank you very much. Good to see that. Exciting news for Kat Phillips. We'll miss her in season two of the Bombers AFLW, but really, really good to hear that. The Melissa Dyke, is it? Has she played
Matilda Dyke, yeah.
Matilda Dyke? Sorry, where does she come from, mate? Is she?
She came from Narrigan in West Australia.
Oh, okay. So she's not a former AFLW
No,
player.
no, no. So she was playing the Waffle,
Okay.
or the WAFLW over there. Actually played their premiership team for Claremont, if you believe. So apparently in that competition, James ranked number two in the league for hitouts, which as a younger player in that competition, Norrigan's shows a fair bit of promise for us.
That's great news. So thank you for that update. Now we'll go by the numbers, and we'll go with Andy McGrath, who I thought played a pretty good game. He's playing on Dusty Martin at times. Dusty's obviously a much stronger body type, but I think Andy played a really good game.
He did, mate. I will say, like early, like he was probably one of my best on in that first half, James. I thought, he was in everything. Getting a fist on here and there. Really making it tough. And Justin Martin certainly didn't get it all his way. But unfortunately, weight of numbers, like they were getting plenty of forward entries, James. Like I think they still had 60 odd for the game, if I remember correctly. And for them to from 60 entries to only score 70 points, I think is a testament to how hard our backs worked and how well they worked together. And as for Andy McGrath, like he racked up the 29 disposals, James. And yes, there was a lot of that where we were sort of moving slowly up the ground. He'd come in for a chip kick, but he was he still did make sure we moved forward. He took a number of I think he had the eight intercept possessions, James. Battled really hard all game. Unfortunately, Had a couple of moments he probably wished to take back, which led directly to goals from Richmond.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
kicking
just,
across ground, isn't
yeah, that's it. Like, where he just floats up a bit too much, and against your quality opponents, they're not going to let you get away with those. So unfortunately, we mark them tough sometimes, James. I sort of thought, oh, geez, like they did hurt us, but I still thought he played a really good game for us.
Yeah, and he had a triple double, mate. And my triple double is that he had 18 kicks, 11 handballs, and 12 marks. So, pretty good effort by Andy McGrath finding that much footy. And as you say, it was a lot of chip kicks in that. But he still played a very important role, and he's doing really well as our vice captain.
It certainly is.
Sam Draper, mate, it was great to see him, take a few marks around the ground. It's been something that we've been really wanting to improve. We've seen, one mark tallies and so forth. He took 5 marks on the night, and I thought it was a really good game from Sam.
Yeah, it was. And some of those marks were really important, James. Like, in particular, the one I'm thinking of is might have been the third or fourth quarter. He dropped back and took a really important intercept mark. Down back where Richmond were really threatening. And I thought, while he didn't, kick that goal, he was showing again that energy, like, to get the boys up and about, James. And against Nan Curvis, who, as we talked about previously, is a really physical ruckman. I thought he held his own, James. I thought he really brought it up to Nan Curvis and show him some of those threatening knees at times. So I thought, he played a really good game, had the five contested possessions, five intercept possessions, and three score involvements. So I thought he battled hard all game, Jamie. I thought it was a quite a good game from Sammy Draper.
Yeah, Cole Langford. I thought he looked a little bit slow at times, mate, in terms of, you don't have to be quick all the time, but in his decision making more. There's a couple of times where he had no awareness. He was in the forward 50, had the footy. Now, speaking to you earlier, mate, you seem to think that a free kick may have been paid, so he's
Well,
just.
yeah, that's when I'm pretty sure it was Camden McIntosh, came through into our forward 50, and we saw Tipper, nail him in a tackle, and the ball popped out. And so it looked to me like Cole Langford was like, "All right, well, that's holding the ball. He's gone." So he sort of relented his run. Then when he didn't hear a whistle, he sort of half stepped and wasn't sure what to do. And then he got ran down himself. And of course, when he got ran down, what was it, James? Holding the ball. That was a real sort of 360 degree moment there. But so I think that at least counted for one of them. But you're right, there were a couple of instances. He took one mark and might have even had a free around that 50 line, and then just fluffed the kick and his decision making. So we didn't get a score, like a score involvement from that opportunity, which was obviously disappointing. But I agree with you, Jamie. Just seemed a bit out of sorts.
Yeah, he did kick an important goal, and he's had a great year, so certainly not a knock, but just seemed a little bit off in his decision making. He's usually a little bit more receptive, I think, to making decisions. Jai Caldwell, mate, he got his chance and played a lot on him ball and actually got 31 disposals, 17 kicks, 14 handballs, the 8 marks. And 3 tackles, and look, some of his kicking wasn't the best, but really loved the way he taxed the footy.
He played bloody he played hard, James. As you say, though, there was a couple of picks, particularly on that left of his. That left a bit to be desired, which to mine impacted how I saw his game. But geez, he knows how to find the footy, James, and he goes harder all game. And I think he had a defensive aspect to his game as well as collecting his own footy. He got a number of clearances. I got the five clearances, which is really good to see. He had six score involvements and a nine contested possession. So he worked bloody hard. So I thought, a good game overall from Jai Caldwell.
The captain, Zach Merritt, had a brilliant game. 39 disposals, 27 kicks, 12 handballs, 8 marks, 7 tackles. can't ask much more from the captain there. And, you know, he really leads his side well. And it's great to see him really growing in the captain's field.
Yeah, absolutely, Jamie. And it's the Yuyuka Award.
There we go. Thank you.
Yeah, that he snaffled. So I think, you know, well, obviously, yeah, to miss these our prime midfielders, Jane. He's captain already, but he really had to step up in that midfield role, and he was everywhere. I mean, collecting the ball himself, but also doing the defensive stuff. As you say, those seven tackles, absolutely huge. That one in particular on Dustin Martin, a real match saver. But also getting, you know, the clearances, which is great work. So doing the rough stuff and, you know, three goal assists. His ball use, Jane, was absolutely incredible at times. Like he just, yeah, seems to slow the game down at times and just pinpoint a pass beautifully. Was absolutely fantastic to see. As you say, couldn't ask for much more from him. He was buddy everywhere. 9 scoring involvements. Just a really great captain's game.
Yeah, and like we kind of bemoaned his, although he's finding plenty of the footy, we thought his kicking had gone down a bit. That really returned this game. And we thought maybe it was from the efforts of tackling and maybe, you know, influenced his kicking. Mm-hmm. But that certainly showed no effect on the night.
Nah, it was a really good game from young Hobbs.
From Merritt.
Sorry, mate. I thought we'd moved on, my bad.
I rehashed over Zach, but that's fine. Mm. We can move on to Ben Hobbs because he was very good too. I love the composure of this kid. He does look, you can tell he's shorter than most of the midfielders,
mm-hmm.
but just his composure and his willingness to go to the contest and his want for the footy is brilliant to watch. 23 disposals, 7 kicks, 16 handballs, 7 marks and 6 tackles to show his tenaciousness. And, really good game on the back of signing on for the next 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely, Jamie. He was in everything. And he's got just so much composure, Jamie. Like he was standing up in tackles and obviously making a number of tackles himself. Like, we'd sort of talked about our younger brigade in particular, like needing to work on their tackling abilities. Like he absolutely applied himself to that, Jane, like making those 6 tackles, 5 clearances. So him getting that opportunity, through those injuries, like he's really taken it with both hands to I'm a midfielder, mate, and let me show you what I can do. To go with like 8 contested possessions. So, yeah, doesn't mind the hard stuff. Stood up in some really big moments. A couple of times, Jane, we saw a big name Curvis. It almost seemed to go after him. Reminiscent of when Mumford used to target Zach Merritt. I thought Ben Hobbs, like there was one where he absolutely took the wind out of him. But he got up and went to the next contest. And he's tough as nails, Jane. So I really liked his game.
Yeah, he's becoming a bit of a favourite of mine, mate. So yeah, really liked the way that he goes about it. Sam Wiedemann started the game well, mate, as we talked about. He had a couple of goals from, early free kick against from Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
But, he missed those 3 shots at goal and then he really didn't have much impact in the second half. He did take a couple of good strong marks, but, he dropped right out of the game. And, obviously Richmond had got some good backmen down there.
Mm-hmm.
But he found it hard to be involved, didn't he?
He did. Mind you, though, James, we didn't do many favours with our kicks inside 50. I thought, over and over again, we just seemed to find a way to pick out the defenders. I don't think it's all Sam Wiedemann. that was the issue there. But, absolutely. Like, we would like more from him. But as I said earlier, like, he'll really benefit for when we get Peter Wright back into the side and he's then playing the second stringer as a forward because once he Yeah,
I like
stocks
what
have.
you did there, mate.
Well,
Yeah.
it's definitely unintentional and obviously probably wrong as well. But
No, I liked it. I thought it was a little throwaway, but I liked it.
but I think he's still presenting. That's the plus I see. Yeah, maybe you got the yips after missing a couple, and really should have iced that third, but didn't. But he still went up the ground, got a couple of marks, which is good. Took the 7 marks at the end of the day, Jamie. And that's one
In
thing
a
we
night
have.
game, yeah, in a night game, it's really strong to take 7 marks. And like, he wasn't as much involved in those chip kicks, so he really had to earn his marks.
Yep, absolutely. That's a decent game from Sam Wiedemann.
Yeah, Will Snelling came into the side. Now Will's a player that you can miss, because in congestion, he's not the biggest player and that. But I was surprised at his stat line after the game, like 19 disposals. 14 kicks, 5 handballs, 6 marks, and 1 tackle. And obviously that goal that he kicked. What did you think watching from the TV?
Yeah, and that's the big difference, Jane. Where like I saw his impact quite a lot. He was just tenacious, like really going after the footy. There was a particular contest on the wing where I think he was either 1-on-2 or 1-on-1, but he just had to make sure that that ball did not get out, because Richmond were away if they got that footy. And he held it, sort of relented their momentum for a bit. It's those moments, Jane, that can be, just so critical. And I think he busted his ass all game. I thought he was actually really important for us. Doing those little things, not the flashy stuff, but those little things. And to rack up the 6 tackles, is testament to how hard he worked. And that's with only 64% game time as well, James. So no, I thought he played quite a solid game.
Yeah, now Jordan Ridley, thankfully he returned, had one of his better games for the season, and yeah, he was brilliant on the night. He's another one who had a triple double, mate, with 21 kicks, 11 handballs, and 14 marks. And he's just such a reliable player down back.
He was, mate. I thought he was huge in the night. Those 14 marks, as you say, yes, beefed up through, those chip kicks around the ground. But I thought he was a real presence down back. And he's just so sure, with his hands, with his disposals, which was great to see. And he's got such great vision as well, James. Like, he racked up the 11 intercept possessions, but one part of his game I think he's really worked on is that contested side of the game. Had 9 contested possessions, James. He's working bloody hard for it. He's not just doing the floating in from the side and collecting the footy. He's having a really battle for it. So I thought it was an excellent game from Jordan Ridley.
Yeah, he'll really welcome players like Jaden Laverty on the way back, because he's a real weapon for us. Archie Perkins, mate, he had the 17 disposals. Now, what I like about Archie is always 16 kicks, 1 handball. Like, he's a pro kicker, And he had 9 marks as well, so he's really reliable in that way. He didn't have a tackle, which surprised me a little, but as I said, I think he's really growing into this season and starting to get a little bit more. I didn't notice him in the midfield too often, but he still provides a really good option for us, in that half forward role.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I think I guess one thing for him he'll have to work on is that like sort of speed off the mark. Because he did seem to, I mean, he's not the quickest bloke, Archie Perkins. I think that's an area of his game he does need to work on, to lay a few tackles here and there. But offensively, yeah, he shows so much smarts around the ground, James. And with those kicks, like he actually had 510 meters gained for us, which is pretty big. And to go with 5 score involvements, I think he's just fantastic. Like he obviously reads the game really well. Actually had a direct goal assist as well, which is great. So yeah, he's developing very nicely, James. So a solid game from Archie Perkins.
Now, a player that copped a little bit of criticism, and I saw it, like he made a few errors here and there, but Nick Hind actually like, and I guess I could appreciate it being at the game too. He runs so hard defensively now, and it used to be a real criticism of his that he was very selective when to use that pace. I think Brad Scott's got that out of him. He seemed really, like we saw that one where he hunted down to make sure Dusty's kick didn't go through. And there's a number of other chases that he does, and it puts perceived pressure on the Richmond players. So, look, yes, he did make a few skill errors with his kicking at key times, and I understand that people get disappointed with that, but there was a lot to like out of his game also. And, you know, he had the 22 disposals, 17 kicks, 5 handballs, 5 marks and a couple of tackles. So, yeah, I thought he was very serviceable.
Yep, agree with that, James. Yeah, just his gut running at times, particularly, those opportunities that Richmond had down back where, it was a real foot race, and that's one thing Nikine does have is that speed. And, like, for him to be able to impact those contests was, really important at times. I thought he, thing we've had to say about or criticism of Nick Hind over the journeys, like defensively, he can get found out at times. I thought he actually applied quite a bit of defensive pressure, Jane. Whether it was just, getting a body on a man, I mean, he's not the biggest bloke. But we actually saw, Nick Hind, be able to arrest Dustin Martin to a point where like he was unable to get rid of the footy, which was huge. He's pretty slight, old Nick Hind, and Dustin Martin's a powerful player, so I thought that was fantastic. So I thought a couple of blues every now and then, but he's busting ass trying to get us playing positive footy. So I thought he played a solid game overall.
Dyson Heppel, mate, his form has been really encouraging the last few weeks. And, we talked about that really important mark just prior to the game ending. But I thought on the night he was really good, took 9 marks, 17 kicks, 5 handballs and 1 tackle. But, I thought Dyson's really grown into the season. And it's through the injuries that he's had to go on that halfback flank, and that really worried me. I thought, the position had gone past him in that, because he lacks a yard of pace, but his smarts are still there, mate, and he's using the ball better. Like, he's still limited to his disposal, but he's making smart decisions and not trying to overkick. We saw early in the year when we were really frustrated with him, he was turning the ball over at the wrong position of the ground.
Yep.
It's like he's gone to work and realised, I've got to know my limitations, and is making smarter decisions with the footy.
Yeah, absolutely, James. Agree with all that. In particular, it was his marking that really impressed me on the night, like aside from, that big mark at the end there. But as you say, like he was using the ball like quite effectively, like not biting off more than he could chew. So, he was part of those chains where, we worked the ball up more meticulously at the ground at times. I thought, really when things got, pretty heated at the end there, James, he was a cool head to help, calm things down. But he did, give us something throughout the entirety of the game. I mean, he had, 6 score involvements to go with a few intercept possessions. So I thought, he really, he did impress me on the night, James, and I'm happy to say I was wrong.
Yeah. No, well done, Dyson. Sam Durham, the match winner, mate, in the end, had a really key last quarter, but it worked hard all through the game, ended up with 21 disposals, 2 goals, 11 kicks, 10 handballs, 9 marks, and 1 tackle. So a really good game from Sam Durham.
Yeah, it was massive. As we said, that second half in particular, he just went to another level. Like his marking, James, it was really important. His composure in that last quarter obviously was huge for us. So he, for a bloke who'd started the game, relatively slow, I'd have to say, he came back with a vengeance. And to have 7 score involvements at the end of the day, And all his disposals actually had seven contested, so he worked bloody hard to collect the footy for us. So I thought it was a really good game from Sam Durham, to really perform on the big stage as he did.
Jake Stringer, wasn't his impactful stuff self, sorry, through most of the game, not through lack of effort, and he's certainly in the many centre bounces, but the ball never seemed to go to him. It was always like bobbling around him. But we saw when push came to shove in the last, kicked that beautiful goal from just outside 50. Also did the setup kick to Sam Durham. And one thing I applaud Jake for, six tackles. So he was doing the defensive stuff as well. So the fact that we could win a game with so many key players out and Jake Stringer having, not one of his best games, but he was still influential, says a lot about the Essendon Footy Club, because we used to rely on Jakey to have big games for us to win.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. That's the thing. If you keep relying on individual brilliance, you're going to come up short more often than not. And while his stat sheet doesn't look huge, I thought the role he played for the side was immense. To do that bullocking work in the middle, despite not getting rewarded for it, I thought he was really important for us. So six tackles are big, and to kick that goal was nice, got us up and about. But those two goal assists shows this is a bloke that's trying to play that real team role as well. And I thought it was a real credit to him. Had the six score involvements overall, Jane. I thought he battled hard all game and overall played a pretty solid game.
Kane Baldwin, mate, he looked really good down back. His second game down back in the seniors, and he played against Brisbane last week, and he looked promising there. But he took nine marks on the night and looked really safe with his hands.
Yeah,
because some of those were contested, and had the 14 disposals, nine kicks, five handballs, and the nine marks. So, and the good thing about Kane, he used the ball well, 86%. So he made a smart decision with the footy when he had it. So really good game by Kane, and I'm really, positive about him, and really think he can be a key part of our future.
Yeah, definitely, Jamo. I think he probably still played a bit within himself. I mean, from his disposals, he only had the 95 metres gained, which again shows that sort of chip kicking we were doing around the ground when we were sort of changing sides, like crossing the play and all that. But as you say, his hands look so good on the night. And I think he battled hard all day. He had the four contested possessions, had the five intercept possessions, which was great to see. And I think, obviously the ball was flying down there thick and fast at times, and he stood up under pressure. So I thought it was a really solid game from Kane Baldwin. And, we're getting Laverty back, within either this week or next. But, I mean, at the moment, you'd sort of go, well, look, if Laverty still has to miss just to get his body 100% right, you'd be comfortable with that, with how Kane Baldwin's playing his footy at the moment.
Sure. Mason Redman had a big game. 27 disposals, 21 kicks, six handballs, eight marks and two tackles. Nearly kicked one of his trademark goals.
Yeah.
Was just a bit off. But, Mason's a really important player for us. And, near the end, mate, he was the one who pumped the ball forward.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got that speed that just seems to unleash, and the meters gained just goes through the roof. I mean, he had 555 on the night, probably got half of those through that that run and gun play through the middle. But just kidding. But the way he attacks the footy, Jane, is excellent. He was back to his best on the night, which is huge. Take the eight marks, as you say, was great to see. He obviously had some pretty tough opponents to play against, but had the six intercept possessions as well as eight score involvement. So had an impact on both ends of the ground. So I thought, really good game from Mason Redman.
Yeah, Brandon Zerk Thatcher kept Riewoldt goalless, right? So, now Nick, sorry, Nick. Riewoldt's really caused us a lot of problems over the time. So it was really good effort by Zirk. And, you know, he had 9 marks also. Couple of kicks made that make you a little bit nervous, and we saw those. They're a bit of a trademark of his, unfortunately. Hopefully they lessen as his career goes on. But, yeah, he's really found a spot down there holding up a fullback.
Certainly has, mate. And I think, like, it's good you keep Riewoldt goalless. That's one thing. But by doing that, you, resist, Richmond's crowd getting more involved. Like, you know, Jack Riewoldt, like, if he kicks a goal, he gets a crowd up and about. So by, limiting his influence on the game, you took part of that element out, which I think is huge for the team. Like, and I think, Zirk Thatcher, like, you look at his stat sheet and go, oh, that's a pretty good game. But it's that stuff that doesn't show up on a stat sheet, James. Like, that fist that comes out of nowhere. Like, just, like, he's got that real innate ability to, get there just in time. We always look back at our favourites, and Dustin Fletcher was one that, he'd always, go, gadget arms. And, like, just as they look to be able to lock in that mark, that fist would come in and punch to the side. That's the sort of stuff that Zirk Thatcher is demonstrating. And I thought it was another, really good game, from him on the night. Because, again, Richmond were pumping it in there thick and fast, JM, like 60-odd forward entries. And, he and that back six as a collective helped, get us out of dodge on a number of occasions. So I thought he had a really good game.
Yeah, now when Davey Jr., just had the 8 disposals, but kicked that goal, one of our early goals, and which really ignited us. It was really good, really well received by the Bomber fans, and had the 3 tackles, and he runs really hard. If you watch the replay, mate, which I've done now, just watch him off the ball, like he's running like a madman, so he's really trying to impact that, and as he gets more streetwise on the footy ground, he's going to use that pace at the right times. But I thought it was a better game from Alwyn than he'd played, the previous games in the last few weeks. Well done playing a serviceable game on Dream Time.
I see it a bit different, James. I don't have that same perspective, like having not been at the ground. I think still he's got a lot of work to do in terms of particularly his contested work. At the moment, I just don't see it. James, he tends to, run outside of where the ball is. So he's almost running alongside the Richmond player when he really should be going hunting at the player or the ball. So I think that's definitely an area of the ground he needs to lift in. For mine anyway, like it's great for him to get that goal. But other than that, he had pretty limited influence on the game. Did lay a few tackles, which is good to see. But I'd still like to see a lot more on the contested side of the game. And obviously he's a younger player, just come in. So he'll develop. I've got no issues around that. But I do sort of wonder whether as a younger developing player, he might be the one to step aside for a Matt Guelfi potentially. But it was great for him to be there on the night, have the win, and I'm sure it'll do his development wonders.
Now, a player that I was a little bit disappointed in on the night, mate, Andrew Phillips. Now, he played 3 full quarters. He had 1 disposal, which was a kick. He had 1 mark, and he had a tackle. Now, that's not good enough, I don't think. Now, you don't expect your ruckman to be high possession winners, but I just thought that he threw himself forward. He was doing the old Joe Danaher, mate, looking for free kicks. Now, Andrew's a very strong physical player. But when you throw yourself forward and stuff, like it gives you the perception that you're weak. And I'm not accusing him of being weak, but like it was this perception of that. And we need more from I think he's the oldest player in the club. So I was a little bit, perplexed, and I think now, it's time to give Nick Bryan a go, mate. He was again very good in the twos, and when you look at those stats over three quarters, one possession, you can't tell me that Nick Bryan's not worth a go.
Nah, and it's a fair call, Jane. I mean, I'm a supporter of Andrew Phillips. I think he can offer a lot to us in the side. When your output's been pretty minimal as it was on the night. When you look at a value ratio, it isn't good enough at AFL level. Look, perhaps, time for a rest as we travel over west. And work himself back into some form, because no doubt we'll need him in games to come.
Yeah, for sure.
And as you say, James, you've got young Bryan, beating down the door in the VFL, and you need to reward that, I feel. So, not a great game for Andy Phillips, I'm sure he'll come back and play some serviceable games for us in future.
Yeah. Now, Nick Martin, 26 disposals, 15 kicks, 11 handballs, and 11 marks. Another triple-double, mate. He overcooked a few kicks, especially in that last quarter, which really could have been costly. Now, Nick Martin's really known for his skills, pretty well. So I'm pretty sure he'll judge himself pretty harshly in those last few minutes. There was one where we just had to play a free, and he just totally missed him. Like, put it right over his head and went to no man's land. And whereas the Nick Martin generally will hit that.
Yeah.
And then there was another one where he tried to pinpoint Tipper, and it kind of went to ground just before his ankles.
Yeah.
In hindsight, that was the right decision because the ball rebounded and we got that winning goal. But at the time, it could have been, again, another costly error field kick that gave us no opportunity to get a goal. But he works really hard. Like, his running is really impressive. He just runs, he gut runs, and generally uses the ball really well. So, he's a good player. I'm not knocking him, but I think he'd judge himself harshly with his kicking, especially in that last quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at things as a whole, and I think there's a lot of good for Nick Martin. Like, he moves so well. He's a smart player. I mean, to collect those 26 disposals and the position he's in, shows he's got all the footy smarts, get the right position, presents well. Like, had that 11 of marks, as you say, Jane, which is great to see. So obviously the players trust him out there, and trust his judgment, to use the ball well. I thought he had a pretty good game. There's obviously levels of development with him, Jane. But to have like the 8 contested possessions, 6 intercept possessions, 3 scoring involvements, shows some pretty good contribution over the course of the game. But once he gets another couple of pre-seasons under the belt, he can run out the games. I suppose without tiring towards the end, he's going to be a serious player for us.
Yeah. Massimo D'Ambrosio, he was the sub. He was activated going into the last. Found the ball 5 times, 2 kicks, 3 handballs, 2 marks, and 1 tackle. It's hard to judge him on a quarter. Mm. But I thought he was definitely had a bit of run in his legs, and you could see that in the last, when players were starting to tire.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I mean, as you say, it's a bit hard to judge. I thought he was serviceable for his role without being outstanding.
Yeah. Anthony McDonald, Tim Woody, had 9 disposals, 4 kicks, 5 handballs, 3 marks, 6 tackles. And that's what should keep him in the side, mate, is that he's still doing the defensive work, even though he's not kicking the goals that we know he used to do regularly. That defensive work will lead to his offense, I think. And he really leads by example in that realm.
Absolutely, Jamie. And you think of those 6 tackles, like 5 tackles inside 50. I thought it was absolutely huge to lock it in there. And as I said before, like there was a couple where I thought he should have been paid, for holding the ball. Like, that one against Camden McIntosh, I thought had him absolutely ice cold, Jane, and should really have had a shot from there. So those little ones that add up. It would have been great for him to kick a goal, but he kicked that handy point, as I talked about earlier, Jane. Those tackles, what the stat sheet doesn't show as well is he actually ran very bloody hard over the course of the game, like in terms of pressuring the Richmond defenders when they were trying to work it out of our 50. Like he was on their hammer all the time, and that perceived pressure meant that they missed a few of their kicks, or they had to rush it to kick to a contested area as opposed to being able to pinpoint someone out. And that is super important for us, James. So that's the kind of stuff that doesn't show up in a stat sheet but is super important for the team. So I thought he had a solid game.
And lastly, Jai Menzi had a much better game, mate. He kicked the two goals, two goals won, eight disposals, five kicks, three handballs, three marks, and an impressive four tackles.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a good game from Jai. Limited opportunities down there, and he made the most of them. And to have those tackles, as you say, James, is really good for us. Actually, had the eight score involvements. So from limited opportunity to have that amount of score involvements. So every disposal he had led to, led to a chance at goal. So I thought it was good from Joe Menzi, and loving his development.
All right, so that leads us to the Don's Cast medal votes, and mate, as always, over to you.
Beauty. So this one, a bit of a tough one. Plenty of honourable mentions, Jamie, as you'd imagine. But I'll go straight to the votes. So I thought, one vote for mine had to be Sammy Durham. He started quiet, but really came into his own that fourth quarter. Yeah, as we talked about, took the game away. So I thought at least worth a vote. Two votes, Jamie, actually went for Zerk Thatcher. I thought his defensive work was really important. Keeping Rewalt goalless was a really a big factor for our defensive side. So I thought worthy of a couple of votes there. Three votes actually went for Dyson Hepples, the former captain. I thought he really stood up in big moments on the night. Couldn't go past him and gave him the three. Four votes I went for Jordan Ridley. Just a fantastic game. Really stood up, time and time again. So great game from Jordan Ridley. So four votes for him. The five votes, James, who else could you pick but Zach Merritt? Outstanding game from the captain. So, that's me five. How about yourself, mate? How'd you read it?
A little bit different this week because it's always good when we do that. So I went five for Merritt, which is obviously an easy decision, I thought.
Yep.
And I thought Jordan Ridley certainly was our second most important player on the night. So I gave him the four.
Yep.
I actually found three votes for Hobbs. I thought Ben Hobbs was a really important player, and I love the way he went about his footy. He had to step up with the late admission or late withdrawal of Dylan Shield, and obviously he lost Will Setterfield and did a lot of hard running, and really made a good decision generally. Two to Sam Durham. I was probably influenced a little bit by the match-winning goal, but I thought was one of the most important players in terms of his last quarter performance, really pushed him over the edge. And I gave one to Mason Redmond. And as I said, I really apologised to Caldwell, Brandon Zerk-Thatcher, Heppel, and even Andy McGrath early. So there's a lot of players that could have possibly got votes, but that was my five votes that I've given out.
Beautiful. All right. Well, I'll tally him up. So going from the bottom as usual. So we've got three votes apiece to Durham and Phillips, four votes each to Zerk Thatcher and Caldwell, five to Perkins, six to Draper, seven each to Hobbs and Setterfield, eight to Wiedemann, nine to Heppel, Kelly's on 12, Martin on 13, Scheel on 18, Stringer on 21, Langford on 23, Ridley on 25, Merritt on 27, McGrath on 29, Parrish on 35, and still out in front is Mason Redmond on 41, Don's Cast Metal Boats.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's quite a spread, which is good. That shows that more players are getting votes. Mm. You know, so I think that, yeah, it's going to be really exciting. Yeah, I think we've got 13 games to go. 13 matches for Essendon anyway in season 2023 before finals. Hopefully we're a participant in that. But, yeah, no, it's going to be really exciting. And as I said, we've got some positive news about injuries, players possibly returning as soon as this week. So, yeah, a lot to like. And, mate, did you get a glance at the West Coast score this last game? They kicked four goals to halftime, and they ended with four goals, which is rare that you don't score a goal in a half of footy.
Yeah, it is, mate. It's the Harley Reid Cup, coming up as they keep spruiking. I mean, it kind of makes me nervous when you see a team down low have a big loss. Because as much as you'd like to be confident, experience has taught us to be a bit more cautious.
Have to cast your mind back to last year. We play a West Coast team that looked down and out. We went across to WA and got beaten pretty convincingly in the end. It felt like that way. So, certainly, even though they had a disappointing game, I don't take anything for granted as an Essendon supporter.
Mm.
And if we don't come with the right attitude, you can leave the door open, especially for a home team.
Yeah.
So I really hope we go to work and really put them to the sword, because to be fair, mate, we need to build our percentage as well. Like, it's sitting around the 100 mark, 102, I think it is.
Yeah.
So these opportunities against West Coast and then followed by that at North, which we play both teams twice, which is at this stage looking a positive for us. This next game against the Eagles, we've got to go to work and we've got to cash in.
Absolutely, mate. And speaking about cashing in, Karma Jame, it's a big beast and no one escapes it. So just a quick shout out to Alistair Clarkson. people will probably say, oh, I shouldn't be saying that, but he was one who, during the saga, sunk the boots into James Hird. Was very happy to say, oh, I don't feel sorry for him, and basically saying he agreed that he thought James Hird was bringing the game into disrepute. Alistair Clarkson, steps away from the game. After copping a few weeks of criticism, Jane. And I will say, look, this is a fan podcast, and we can say whatever we want, kind of. But the way that the AFL was gone about this in quote investigation, I think it's pretty deplorable. They've kind of swept these big issues under the rug. You kind of think of what Essendon was accused of, and the massive penalties we received as a result of that. You think of what happened in this case, or is alleged to have occurred, and that effectively been swept under the rug. Those two coaches, senior coaches, particularly, keeping their roles. If nothing happened, I guess nothing happened, and all, you wear egg on your face and all the rest of it. But by the sounds of it, there's a fair bit to it, judging from the news stories that came out from, directly involved sources who, they remained anonymous for good reason, particular identity and all the rest of it. But you think, the damage that is alleged to have occurred, I think warranted much more serious investigation, from reports here from respected journalists like Jake Nile, that effectively these three are going to be exonerated, Jane, in such a quick time frame without anything really having come out, I think is pretty deplorable.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And Alistair Clarkson for sinking the boots into our own James Hird. Sometimes, as you said, mate, the karma bus does a U-turn and runs over the people who throwing stones. So, obviously we don't have any intel on what's occurred, but I thought maybe the fact that it was Sir Douglas Nicholls' round probably would have put the spotlight on the issue too. So I thought maybe that was the reason that Alistair chose this week to drop out. I think that whatever's gone on, because we heard stories that Alistair Clarkson went up to get fuel for his car and was turned away from the the person wouldn't serve him. I guess these are the kind of things that he's only had to deal with for a short term of his, coaching career, which has been long and illustrious. But, he didn't have any compassion for James Hird and basically accused, through his own words, accused Hird as trying to cheat his way through. As I said, karma bus, beep, beep.
That's it.
Until next week, I'll say go Bombers.
Go Dons.